Blog Talk Radio.
We have here of Suspense Radio. Now, of course, it could be good afternoon wherever you're listening. We want to thank you, however, wherever, whenever you listen to the show. It's great to have you with us. This is Suspense Radio One-on-One. I'm your host, John Robb. Today's guest, we will have author John Lansing back on the show to talk about book three in his Jack Bertolino series, and it is called Dead is Dead. So it's going to be a fabulous conversation. Also, I'll let you know that all the shows this year are brought to you by Kensington Books. Make sure you check out kensingtonbooks.com for more information on their authors, include Daniel Palmer, Lisa Jackson, Kevin O'Brien, and much more, kensingtonbooks.com. So let's not waste any time, and let's jump over here to Mr. Lansing. So, John, it's great to have you back on today. How you doing?
Nah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it.
And so this is you've been doing Partners in Crime tours now for a couple of years. This is I think this is the third time.
This is the third time we've had you on.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no. You up?
Oh, they're a terrific organization. I mean, it really helps once the book is released to build the audience. A blog tour is a wonderful way to go, and they just run it masterfully.
And now that you're in book three, you're starting to get that following. You're starting to get those, you know, those people. Because book three in a series tends to be the book that kind of either really breaks you out, kind of leaves you in the, you know, it's that book. It's kind of that transition book. And that's kind of what you kind of have going on here in Dead is Dead. So let's jump into the latest here in your Jack Bertolino series. And let's tell us what's going on in the book.
First of all, I'm really hoping what you're saying is true because it feels that way. It's a nice build. Social media, it takes a while to build the audience and to figure out what social media is all about. So with this book, I'm hitting a broader audience now. People are responding, and you can kind of quantify the numbers as you post on Facebook, as you post on Twitter, as you do the blog tour. And so it's kind of exciting. In Dead is Dead, I wanted life to imitate art. I spent a lot of time as an actor, and so I pulled from that. I try to pull as much from real life as is humanly possible. And in this book, an A-list producer optioned one of Jack Bertolino's recent cases. It had achieved international notoriety. And the studio agrees to greenlight the film with lit and consigned New York actress Susan Blake. Susan Blake's the new It Girl, right? And they want her to play the lead. So Jack's engaged as the technical advisor on Lytton's noir police thriller that's filming on location in Venice and starring Susan Blake. But more importantly, he wants him to keep a protective eye on Susan. Susan's being harassed by a cyber stalker, is reticent to commit to a second Lytton production and spend another year in L.A. While they're filming, a six-year-old girl is shot dead in the living room of her parents' home, just blocks from where Lytton's movie's filming. And there we get into life imitates art. And Jack Bertolino gets pulled into this case, and the case has threads connecting the movie, the murder, and a brutal gang of brothers. And you're off and running.
Now, for people that are familiar with the series and have read books one and books two, what are they going to notice that's different or maybe the same with Jack and then with the writing of you, John?
You know, everyone evolves. So there's growth in Jack. There's growth in the family. There's growth with his son. Everyone's maturing. Their relationship has evolved, and I think it's – It'll be interesting for people that have read book one and two to see where they've gone and how their characters arc. But it works as a standalone. I mean, you can read the book as a one-off, and it'll do just fine for you.
And that's the important thing that a lot of people do when they write series is that you kind of, and I like to say that you write them in the Law and Order way, because Law and Order, you could kind of jump into that series, not the Special Victims, but the original Law and Order series, you could kind of jump into anything, and you're not missing anything, because it was about that case at about that time. And even though you kind of have a little underlying going on, you're writing about this case at this time in Dead is Dead. And whether or not things happen now, maybe, you know, he has injuries or psychological things that kind of go forward. Yeah, you can read those. But this is about this time at this place.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the fun of series. I mean, that's why I like reading series, because you develop a relationship with the characters. And so you're more engaged as the stories go on and as the series unfolds. It pulls you in, and hopefully it holds you when you look forward to reading the next book. I'm already, you know, knee-deep in the next book in the series, book number four. So, you know, it's very exciting for me. I love writing this book.
And, again, that's kind of when you look at yourself as an author, and now that you're three books in and you kind of go back from Devil's Necktie into Blonde Cargo and now in Dead is Dead.
Right.
Did you want to challenge yourself in this book, you know, because, you know, you got the first one, you got the second one, but now you're like, okay, now I'm in the third one. Now I got to kind of start heating things up and moving things along. What was maybe a challenge that you put to yourself just in writing the book? Was it a character thing? Was it a setting thing?
You know what it was? It was a structural thing. I had so many threads. I mean, when I said that there's threads connecting the movie, the murder, and a gang of brothers, it's a plot and two subplots that I have to weave together, and one has to, you know, jackrabbit on the other to keep the momentum moving forward. And that was the difficult. That was the challenge of this book, because Each of the plots had value and challenged Jack, the protagonist, but they had to work together, and they had to somehow blend. And somehow I had to find a way to connect the murder of the little girl to a brutal gang of killers that occupy the main crux of the story.
Yeah.
I knew I could get it out. Crux. That's what I was looking for.
And so let's just kind of go back here, and let's go back to like the Devil's Necktie, and let's talk about Jack and kind of give people who are just finding out about you the background of Jack and who exactly he is and, you know, what kind of character he is.
Right,
scoop on him.
Right. So Jack Bertolino spent 25 years in narcotics in Manhattan, and he elevated to inspector. And then he hurt his back during doing cleanup at Ground Zero. And he had a couple of operations, and it left him impaired. He retired, took an early retirement. And he's a man standing on the crossroads. I mean, he wants to reinvent himself. 25 years as a cop. His son is going to school in Stanford on a baseball scholarship. He drives his son to school, drives down Pacific Coast Highway, lands in Marina Del Rey, falls in love with the place, and something that's way outside of his box, he puts money down on a loft in a building on Glencoe Avenue in Marina Del Rey, and he's going to, like, challenge himself to find something new to do with his life. But first he's just going to relax and try to get back in touch with himself. And he gets a phone call from a confidential informant who he promised to help if things ever got too hot to handle for her. And she's turning in her chit. She calls him up. He shows up at her house, and she ends up dead, and he stands accused. So he gets immediately pulled back into the life. He has to prove his innocence, and he has to find the perpetrators of the crime. But, you know, Jack's a flawed hero. Because of the pain in his back, he's now He takes a Vicodin Excedrin cocktail once or twice a day. He doesn't want to go under the knife again. He's got a contentious divorce with an ex-wife. He's trying to maintain and rebuild his relationship with his son because he missed a lot of firsts in his son's life because he was career oriented. And so he's got all these things swirling around, and at the same time, he's accused of a murder. So that pulls us into the first book, and we move on from there.
When you're looking at the second character,
you're breaking up.
Breaking up?
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said. Your voice is breaking.
Okay. I said when you're looking at those secondary characters that kind of bring all those, bring the story together.
Yeah.
Who can you say that Dead, in the latest book here, Dead is Dead, who is that character? Who's that one that you can kind of pull out and say, this is kind of that secondary character that gave me that nice surprise that I always like to ask authors of, who kind of maybe took over the story a little bit more than you thought they would?
That's a great question.
Because Jack can never do it on his own. He's always got to have those kind of characters that kind of make him who he is and force him to be that all around guy. Did you have that character in Dead is Dead that you were just like, wow, I had no idea that they were going to be this impactful in the story?
Well, you know what? It was Susan Blake. It's the actress in the story who he's, you know, signs on to protect. And she ended up, I started out approaching her character from one point of view when I worked with my editor, with John Payne, who's a fantastic editor. He questioned whether that there was enough conflict between the two characters. I had turned in a first draft. It was a viable draft. We started the editing process, and he just kept saying, you want to look at that. You want to take a look at that. You want to maybe find another approach. And so I totally changed her backstory. I changed her history. And in the rewrite, I totally changed that wheel, that subplot. And she provided so many surprises for me. When I look at the book now, it really makes me happy that, A, I had a good editor that challenged me, and that the character started informing where she should go and what she should do, and it amped up the story. It amped up that subplot. The plot didn't need any amping up. I mean, there's just wall-to-wall movement, action, danger, thrill beats, but she's created a mystery. And that was all new, and that happened in the last 2 weeks before I delivered the final manuscript to Simon & Schuster.
Now, can you see yourself writing right now anything outside of a Jack Bertolli mystery?
You know, not for a while.
Okay.
Not for a while, because it's all encompassing, and you know, I published a short story that if you go to my website, johnlansing.net, you can download for free. And that's a different, totally different story. It's about growing up on Long Island in 1963, and it's about young love and politics. And I think it's an interesting read and a different take and kind of a different voice. But right now, I just want to get the fourth book written. The door is open. I'm enjoying myself. How many times in life can you say that? You know, things are like moving
True.
Along, and I want to stay on the boat and keep moving forward.
So do you kind of file away in the back of your mind? You kind of write things down when you get an idea and you're like, oh, you know what, this is a great idea for a book, but it's not going to fit Jack's story, but I'm going to keep this filed away that one of these days I'm going to explore this.
You bet. I mean, partially it happened here because I had all these – there was a spate of drive-by shootings where kids got injured. Kids got shot in the living room of their homes. So I had three or four, you know, newspaper articles knowing that somehow I was going to use it because, I mean, it's usually men. The men who pull the trigger – and there's one thing if it's, you know, it's gangster shooting gangster – that's part of the life. It's a whole other thing if one of your errant bullets takes down an innocent. And that was just an interesting concept for me, and it affects the character who does the shooting in my book. It's one of the three brothers, and it plagues him, and it gives him nightmares. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I always find that fascinating, because when you guys are writing series, it's not like you don't want to force plots and things into your series, because then it just feels clunky.
Right.
So I always wonder what you guys do with all these other ideas that you get, because you're going to have them, and then I don't know if you think about, well, you know, maybe there's a character in your books that you might want to spin off, maybe have another series of their own or this and that. I'm sure you get a lot of emails. And so besides Jack, who are people emailing you about? What is their biggest kind of thing that you kind of see them interested in your writing?
They loved Mia, who died in the first, by page 7, she suffered a brutal murder, but they loved that character. Nick Aprea is a cop, and he's Jack's really only ally on the LAPD, and he's Jack's go-to guy, because Jack now is a private investigator, and there are certain issues that come up. Jack has always developed relationships in his career with men in the FBI, with DEA, and at the time with the LAPD, that's how we became friends with Nick Aprea. And so he's a go-to guy. He's a guy that's very interesting. He's talking about a spinoff. If anything ever happens to Jack, if I get tired, he's a character that's interesting enough for me to spend time with. I like his chemistry. I like his character. I like his dialogue. I like his voice. There's something about him that's very compelling for me.
Interesting. And that's kind of the one thing that, you know, you look back and you kind of sit there and go, what can he be on his own, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And then when you start seeing that, because the book just came out about, I think it was May 30th, so it's just been out about 5-6 days.
Right.
And now you're starting to get, with all the social media, you start getting all that instant reaction, of course, much different than you were, you know, 15, 20 years ago when you go to the bookstore, you'd have to kind of wait for things. But now
right.
you kind of get it day one, and you're seeing what every, you know, you're seeing what fans are talking about, and you're kind of seeing what they're saying about the book. So do you get nervous, though, because you know that you're going to start seeing it on May 30th at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Someone's going to pick up your book and probably read it and let you know what's going on.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? I'm only human. Oh, my God. It's nerve-wracking. It's just nerve-wracking because you never know. And,
right.
and art is subjective. So, you know, people that don't like it, that's valid. I mean, it may not make me happy, but, you know, it's valid. It's not everybody likes the same thing. So it is nerve-wracking. And then as they started rolling in, it's been very gratifying, because the response has been very, very exceeded my expectation. So I'm quite pleased. I'm quite pleased right now. But still nervous because they're coming in, you know?
Yeah.
You read them,
it can ruin
your Thursday, you know, if you get a 3-star review.
It can. And so do you look at those reviews? I mean, do you just kind of look at them maybe once a week or this and that, or do you put more focus on the reviews from critics like myself and magazines, or do you look at what just individuals are saying?
Well, you know, the readers on Goodreads, they're savvy. The readers that a lot of the readers that I know on Facebook, they're savvy. They're in the business. They're writers. So I give the same weight to whoever's writing a review. I read them all. There's no question about it. I read them all. And but you know, a review from your magazine might go on the front cover because again, all of that helps the process.
True. And do you go out and get, I mean, the one thing that I see, which is difficult because we have a publishing company too, is trying to get peer reviews and, you know, other writers to kind of review. Everybody is so busy. Everybody is like, I'm so busy writing, or I don't have time to read, and this and that. Do you go out and look for those peer reviews and try to get those?
It took 3 years. That process, it's just starting. And the writers, I just got a review from a writer, E. Van Lowe, a terrific, he writes young adult novels. Fantastic writer. Was a showrunner on a lot of television shows in L.A. And he just wrote the review. You develop relationships. It's not about selling books. It's about, and so this is the major point of social media. It's not about selling books. It's about developing relationships. And as people care about the characters that you're writing about, if they respond to the books, then they're more apt to like take the time to do it because it becomes important to them. It's like turning on your television set and you're in front of the set every Wednesday at 9 o'clock because something's playing that you know you're a fan of. It's all about it's relationship based, and it was harder with the first book, and it was nerve wracking with the second book, and there's a little bit more ease with that process with this book. So, you know, that kind of growth is gratifying.
Well, the one thing that's really cool is right now on Amazon, your book's only $1.99. So is Blonde Cargo. Is $1.99. So it's a great value.
It's a great value. Blonde Cargo, this is the last day of the that price.
Oh.
Then it's just going to go to $5.99. But but Dead is Dead, it's $1.99 until the 12th. So you've still got a lot of time.
So if you're listening to this show after the 12th, you screwed up. You got to get it now for the $1.99. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, it's still a great value, $5.99. I mean, of course, a lot of people don't understand, you know, that the publisher sets the price. You really don't have a choice of when it goes on sale and kind of when
exactly.
It doesn't. I mean, they kind of make those things up as they go along.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so $1.99, great value right now to kind of jump into. And like you said, you know, you can read you can read book three now, then you can kind of go back to one, you can go to two, you know, you can jump around. And that's the thing about ebooks that I love is you can jump into a series at a price that, you know, you're comfortable with because you don't have to buy $7.99 paperbacks. You don't have to run to Barnes & Noble and spend $25 to join a stupid membership that's going to save you 10%, which I find highway robbery. And it's just like legal loan sharking. And it's just like, I think it's wonderful that you're able to kind of have these things, and that's what ebooks have done. And the other thing is ebooks have done for authors like yourself and, you know, who don't get the big exposure from the bookstores and, you know, all the things. The ebooks are a great way. They stay around forever. They
exactly.
never go away. Unlike bookstores who, you know, get your books for 3 months and they're like, and then they move on to something else.
That's right.
A great thing.
I agree with you. It's been an interesting process.
And you can write a little faster because, you know, you're not doing as many, you're doing more things like this than you are having to hit the road. I mean, do you even go out and do book signings anymore, or is it pretty much everything behind the computer?
The paperbacks, you can get all the books on paperback now, but it's print on demand. So at this point, it doesn't make any sense to go and do a brick-and-mortar book signing because the books aren't there. But that's why Partners in Crime, that's why doing a virtual blog tour totally makes sense because I can do it all from my office and, you know, keep the whole process going.
And, you know, and you can wear your pajamas. You can sit around and whatever you want to wear. People will never know. That's the
I'm
kind
fully
of fun
dressed
thing that you can do.
And I shaved.
Oh, see, that's like 75% more than what I'm at right now. But
Lord.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, but now let's kind of go to the future. And you said you already kind of got book four going on. Can you kind of give us a little sneak preview of maybe where you have Jack going or maybe what you have going on?
Well, you know, it's a little too early to talk story, but there's an illegal gambling boat involved. And
okay.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I can say right now because it's just too early.
Are you leaving him in LA area?
Yeah. He's based here, and I write all about this area. I basically live in the loft that Jack Bertolino lives in, and so I write about the streets that I walk down, the restaurants that he inhabits, the different sections of Hollywood and Los Angeles and Marina del Rey and Venice Beach.
Fire in Calabasas
but
today.
But he moves. And what?
The fire in Calabasas today.
No kidding. And that's close to you, isn't it?
No, I'm around Thousand Oaks. We used to live in Calabasas.
Okay.
Our mailing address is there. But, yeah, I'm familiar with
that
area, of course. My daughter went to Calabasas High School, so I'm familiar with that area.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. It's a shame what happened.
And there's so many nooks and crannies of L.A. that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, you have some great authors that have written about L.A. and different parts of it and this and that. But there's so many nooks and crannies, and there's so many different underground kind of places, especially, you know, the areas that you just mentioned, Hollywood, Venice Beach, those places that you can really kind of get into and really dark if you want
to. Exactly, yeah. Well, in this book especially, because the Abbot Kinney area right now.
Yep.
It's there's $3 million houses, and there are still ramshackle places where there are gangs. There was a shooting just down on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice just last week. And, you know, so there's an undercurrent. It's such a beautiful place, and it's so eclectic. It's hard to remember sometimes that it's a city, and a lot of different animals inhabit a city, a lot of different characters, and so that's what I try to key into.
Yeah, Venice is definitely a different kind of bird when you start walking around that area. You'll see some.
No question.
You got some celebrities that live around in that area, and then you'll look around and just to your right, and you're like, "Holy shit, what is that?"
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I love about it. That's what I love about Venice, and when we go visit, that's what we just love about that area. It's
right.
So great.
It is.
So we're coming up to the end. I want to be able to give you here the last word to be able to kind of let everybody know. You already mentioned your website, johnlansing.net. What's your social media? What's what else, you know, can people find you and everything else?
You know what? From the website, you can find me on Facebook. You can download the short story. Get on my list. It's all there. All the information, my Twitter, it's all there. And so it's easier than, like, spouting it out and having people trying to scribble it down.
Yeah.
And it's just all there, johnlansing.net. It's very easy.
You pretty active on social media, Facebook and stuff?
I'm very active. Very active. Yeah. And like I think we discussed before we went on air, this is the first year where it really is starting to take hold.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. It's daunting at the beginning, and now it's comfortable. Now it's like putting on a, you know, comfortable shirt. I just there's a greater ease to it all now.
Right. Well, John, we want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the day. It's going to be a hot one out there, but I guess it's going to get a little cooler. So I don't know. I'm going to try to take myself and cool down a little bit here today. I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to kind of hang out around.
Hey, John,
but you never know. LA weather changes in 7 seconds, so you never know.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me on, John. I really appreciate it. I appreciate that.
Thank you, John. Enjoy it. Have a good one.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. So again, everybody, that is author John Lansing. The book is called Dead is Dead. It is book 3 now in his series of Jack Bertolino. And so you want to make sure you check that out. Go to johnlansing.net for more information on John and his writing. And you can go back and you can read The Devil's Necktie, which is book 1, Blanc Cargo. $1.99, last day today. If you listen to it, go to $1.99 today for Blanc Cargo. And Dead is Dead is on sale for $1.99 too. So don't miss out. We want to thank you all for listening again, however, wherever, whenever you listen to the show. And until next time, keep reading. Bye, everybody.